Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you so very much, Lord. You are a wonderful God, and we love you. And we offer ourselves up to you here and now. And we just thank you so much that you call us, that you love us, that you guide us, that you share your Holy Spirit, that you give us so many blessings, Lord, in our lives. And if we're looking for blessings, we're certainly going to find them. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And this morning, we just want to lift this time up to you. We thank you for your word. Your word is so valuable, Lord, and so wonderful and so precious, and it feeds us in so many ways. And we just thank you for it. And as we look at things this morning and talk about it, we pray that your presence would be here with us, that you would guide our conversations, that you would teach us what you want us to learn, and that you would be here with us, that your Holy Spirit would be here with us, present, to help us to gain some understanding and put things into perspective. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. We lift those who had been coming but haven't been here lately, Lord. We lift them up to you, and we just pray that you would help them to see their way back because we miss them. But we lift them up, and we just offer all of this up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so last week we've been in 1 John for a while now, and we were talking about testing the spirits and spiritual encounters, and we kind of noted that even some churches today tend to water down or dilute God's word, or maybe even focus too much on self-help or prosperity or gaining worldly things. Or sometimes even distort the scripture to recreate Christianity. Sometimes I think people try to recreate Christ to fit into their box instead of us opening up to really truly understand who he is. And it's kind of like we're to recreate God to fit in our desires, and that kind of enables us to make peace with sin. And that's not okay. But I think that is definitely a spiritually led thing. And when we were talking about testing the spirits, I shared a list of some things that came to my mind when I was just praying and preparing, and I just want to read those again because I think that these are things that we see on a regular daily basis, and the truth is some of them could be, a lot of times they're seen as mental or medical or even a personality condition or disorder, but honestly, I think these are things that the Bible speaks a lot of how to deal with and against. And I'm just going to just kind of mention them again. Depression is one of them, and we see a lot of depression. These days, there are billions of dollars that get spent on trying to fight depression. Fears. Some fears are healthy, of course. Some fears are good fears to have. But if it's a fear that puts you in bondage of any kind, then those a lot of times are spiritual battles. Addiction. Addiction is definitely a serious spiritual battle. And that's addiction of any kind. That's an addiction to anything that puts, again, the putting us in bondage is kind of the key here. When these things are severe enough that they put us in bondage, it becomes a spiritual battle. Compulsion. You ever feel compulsed to say or do something that you know you shouldn't do, but it's just an overwhelming compulsion sometimes? Yes, no, maybe.
Not anymore.
Isolation is a terrible one. We feel isolated and alone, and that can really shut us down and just cause us to go into a depression if we aren't already. Anxiety. Again, anxiety is something that's heavily medicated these days, and I'm not saying there isn't a place for the medications. It really just depends on what's the cause of the anxiety. But a lot of times it may be a medical condition, but it may also include a spiritual battle that causes that. Deceit, just a total lying and deceiving and a deceit kind of thing. Revenge. Revenge is certainly not when you're loving someone or treating someone with forgiveness or love. It's born out of hatred. Hatred is another one. Intimidation. There are people that love to intimidate other people just to manipulate and control them. Worthlessness. We forget who we are in Christ. Or if we're someone who's not in Christ and feeling a feeling of worthlessness, that can be a horrible feeling because then everything is negative. Oppression, that's kind of vague, but oppression of any kind. Pride and arrogance kind of go hand in hand. But these are things that we see. These are like people's attitudes and things that people deal with. And we see them so much that I think sometimes we just sort of go, oh, well, that's really sad. And maybe we'll throw a prayer at it. And that's about it. And I honestly think that those are spiritual battles that people are fighting most of the time. And if we can learn how to fight those spiritual battles, a lot of that can really start to turn around. But I guess we talked a little bit, but not much. We always run out of time too fast. How do we stop those things? How do we do battle with those things? Or even before that, how do you see those things? I mean, what are some signs of things that you see that people have when they have these kind of conditions or battles going on in their lives? I mean, I bet everybody here knows somebody that's dealing with something on that list, right? I mean, what are some things that we see?
Physical manifestations.
Yeah, what do you mean by that exactly?
If there's been trauma in their lives.
Yeah.
It becomes their identity, and it takes away our body's natural immunity.
Yeah.
And things start to happen, physical manifestations.
Physical things start to happen, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the anxiety and fears and depression and all of that stuff, that just can take over a person and cause tons of physical ailments. I mean, serious things. Those things are just a lot more, I don't know, I don't want to use the word subtle, but in comparison with like doing a battle with a demonic force, you know, there are some demonic forces that we see that are obviously a demonic force. There are things sometimes that we go, oh, this is definitely a dark spirit or some kind of a demonic force. And it's very obvious, but these things are a lot less because there could be other causes or other things, and we tend to just kind of blame it on something else or whatever, and we don't always address the spiritual. I have kids that come to me and talk to me about things sometimes, and they'll tell me, they're reluctant at first, but eventually they'll open up and they'll tell me things that they're feeling or things that they're experiencing that sound crazy. And so they're afraid to tell people because they've told people before, and they put them on medication thinking that, okay, there's something wrong in your brain and we're going to put you on medication. And so they put them on medication, but then they hate the medication because of the way that it makes them feel. But they just kind of stop telling people about it because they don't want people to think that they're crazy or jump to some conclusion or something. And sometimes it is a spiritual battle. I mean, I lots of kids that I pray with, you can just see that anxiety and that just that that fear and that all those things, you can just see it kind of melt away as you're praying sometimes. And it's wonderful.
That's one of the biggest manifestations in the, you know, the different generations, Gen X and millennials and everything. The youngest group is extreme anxiety because of what they're living through.
Because
it's even more.
Yeah. I mean, I grow up watching some negative things on the news and hearing when something, you know, terrible or bad happened in your city or town or neighborhood, people were shocked by it. And now we hear all the negative stuff all over the world constantly. And, you know, these kids have to be able to sort all that stuff out and put it into perspective. And that cannot be easy. It's too much information, too much stuff that you can't control. But you also can't just totally forget about it and let go of it, because it still stays in there.
The source of the media is from the darkness.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it is. And that deceit kind of falls into that, too. There's so much deceit. News isn't just news. It's slated to one side or another. It's a lot of it's propaganda. And there's so much, I think when people in past generations were being dishonest or deceitful, they were trying to be sneaky about it and doing it in darkness. And now I feel like it's just right out there. It's
right,
like,
right.
Okay, we can see that you're lying, but it doesn't stop. It doesn't make any difference. And there's so much of it that now you look at things and you go, I don't know what to believe. I don't know what I can believe, you know? And so kids that don't have a foundation with Christ, that don't have a connection with Christ, you know, they're going to get tossed all over the place. They're just going to be lost and confused. Those who do have a connection with Christ are still going to get pushed around and knocked around and trying to figure out, you know, put things in perspective. You're right. It's very hard on them. Personally, I think we're going to see an increase of this kind of action. I mean, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
But what I see is the body of Christ being the body of Christ and stepping up.
Into, rising.
Yes.
Yes, a rising awakening for this season.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to increase, too. I think that's going to increase tremendously.
Oh, yeah.
But how do we deal with this? Like, when we see these things and when we, you know, we know that there's a spiritual battle going on, or we encounter some spiritual thing that we feel like we need to battle or fight. You know, I put down a lot of different examples here of things. Most of them are from school, because that's where I encounter the biggest, you know, the biggest number of things is at school. But just, you know, some signs or whatever that this is a spiritual thing, or that it's some kind of a demonic thing. I just put down that, you know, I had a boy that he just had really, really dark eyes. When you looked into his eyes, it was very dark, and he was constantly making verbal attacks on Christ and on God and on the Bible. I mean, constantly. And it was just like, okay, this is definitely, you could just feel it. It was like oozing with darkness, and you could just feel it. It was so obvious. I've had kids before that were very intelligent, very argumentative and very informed, that had read and looked at and studied the Bible before, but chose not to believe it and chose to believe other things that were out there. And those kids, to me, I think sometimes are harder to reach. because they've got an explanation for everything that's, you know, that comes against it. But that's a demonic thing as well.
I've seen that too.
I've had kids that just dabbling in witchcraft. I have a boy in my class right now who says he is Wiccan. Actually two. One of them says he is, but I think he's just trying to go with the flow. This other boy, his mom is definitely Wiccan, and he's into Wicca stuff. And I had an opportunity this week to share a lot of stories. I had a boy that said, everything can be explained away by science. A boy said, I don't think this was this week, so I didn't share this with you guys, but a boy asked me, he said, what's up with that red water in the Bible? And I said, what do you mean? Are you talking about the Red Sea? Are you talking about the water turning to blood? I don't know for sure what you're talking about. And he said, yeah, I think it's that water turning red or turning to blood, like with the Egyptians and stuff. And I was like, okay. I said, what do you mean, what's with it, what about it? And this other boy said, oh, that was just a lot of iron in the water that made it look red and da 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 da. And it was just and he goes, I used to believe in all that stuff. He said, but my dad set me straight. He told me that everything can be explained by science. And I thought, oh, how sad. And so I said, well, let me share a couple things with you, and you try to tell me how to explain that by science. And I started sharing a couple of stories and a couple of miracles that I've been around or that I've experienced. And, of course, he couldn't, but they wanted more. And so I spent over half of my class time just sharing stories, and they just was like, they were just sitting there like, you know, just soaking it in, and it was wonderful. But I also know that when that happens, there's going to be attacks. So I've been praying extra hard for these kids. And then one of them came and told me that their father punched them in the face. And that they're afraid to go home now. And, you know, this is an 18-year-old child, a female. And it's just, it's really hard to, I can't battle those things from a distance except through prayer. And so that's what I have to do, is spend more time in prayer. But I've had kids, I had a girl who named her demon. She claimed it and she named it. And so she would have conversations with it.
That's scary.
And when she would talk to other people, that's one of the situations where she would talk to other people, and they were just like, okay, if you're seeing things, you're crazy, and you need medication. Sorry, did I just freak her out?
No, are you going to see her?
Oh, okay. Just checking. So, you know, those types of things, it's like, and, you know, I would pray with that girl on a regular basis. You know, one situation, she was having a meltdown, we prayed, and then afterwards she would come and ask me, can we go pray? And, you know, so those kind of situations and things.
That just sounded creepy, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that wards off evil spirits is armor of God.
Yeah, yeah, he equips us.
I didn't mean that.
Are you stealing my notes on my paper? Right.
No, I just said I didn't even see that.
You didn't?
No. I thought it.
You thought it?
What's that?
I thought it. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Have you encountered those things? I know you shared a couple last week. Have you encountered those situations? Have you ever encountered like a demonic force that you're just kind of like, whoa?
I don't really think so. No.
But maybe some of these other things on this list over here, things
I
that
have
are more.
A friend and coworker whose sister either overdosed or committed suicide a year ago.
Yeah.
And I was hanging out with her one day, and she was awful. Almost attacking me for my faith. Like, you don't have, she's trying to get me to stay.
Yeah.
You don't have to go to church tomorrow. God doesn't care. Like, oh, Brenda, I'm going to pray for you, but. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, other than that, though, no, I've not really come against them yet.
Is she okay now, or?
She's just hurt.
Sure.
She's hurt. Really? She's angry at God. Yeah, that's really grief. What it comes down to. She's angry. Wow. I told her, you don't know what your sister was feeling or what was going on with her in her last moments. Only God knows that. So.
Right.
She feels guilt, too.
Yeah, she's got a lot of guilt. I mean, she's just, it really messed her up.
Yeah, we had a young girl come in, 18 years old, into the jail, and the darkness in her eyes. And she had overdosed, but someone was there to give her the Narcan. And she was surrounded by godly people to her, and led her to Jesus and baptized her before she got into jail, but the darkness was still there. But at least she came to Bible study. And he can remove that.
Yes, and I think that's something we have to keep in mind too, is we can accept Christ, but he doesn't always just go
done. Do you have bondage on that list?
Well, all of these things are a form or a type of these pull you into bondage. I just become more and more aware of all of this, I think, and I pray that, you know, God would use me in these ways on a regular basis, and so that's probably why I'm becoming more and more aware of a lot of it. But I mean, it's been that way for a long time, and so when I see things like this or whatever, you know, it could be, sometimes it's an odd putrid smell. Sometimes it's just this overwhelming dark feeling or pressure, or it's just kind of like you just want to go, wah! You know, it's just like, it's just that really, really, I don't know, it's just a real dark feeling or a sensation, or sometimes I can just literally see darkness in someone's eyes that are, or the pain. I mean, sometimes it's extreme pain that they're going through, and it's different things. But I think that some people can see more spiritual things than others. And so I never, if a kid or anyone comes to me and says, I've been seeing this, or I've been having this, or whatever, I always treat it as though it could be real, whether I know it is or not. You know, so, you know, I've had kids that have played around with stuff, and they make stuff up and things too. But even if I think that, I don't treat it as that. I'm just like, well, you know, if this is true, then let's do this or let's do that. Yeah.
Did I share with you? What I guess it was a vision, I don't know, unless it was my imagination. What I saw last week, a couple days as I was cleaning.
No.
It happened both in the front hallway. And just out of my peripheral, I saw this giant statue looking of a man. Kind of dressed like a Roman soldier, but like in not scary attire. And it just only lasted for like a few seconds, and I'm like, all right, what's going on here? You know, my eyes playing tricks on me, what's going on? So I just kept on sweeping. And I got closer to the stairs to get ready to quit and wrap it up and put the sweeper away. And looked down my peripheral towards the front door and saw the same vision. So I'm like, and I didn't feel scared or any of that. I was like, okay, God, Holy Spirit, what's he trying to show me? you know? And I've been praying about walking through the school, going to each room, yes, and praying in every doorway, not just the classrooms, and writing scripture up in the corner somewhere. And then I saw these two visions, and they were both the same. And I was like, all right, my mind's probably playing tricks on me. So when I went back to my room, I was praying and for God to, you know, either tell me or show me, you know, am I seeing things, Lord? Is there something you're trying to tell me? Or what is this? And I'm sitting there and I'm praying, and then I look at scripture on my phone and inspirational stuff that I have saved. And one of them was Priscilla Schreier, and I listened to her. And as I was listening to her, I tell you, as sure as I'm sitting here, the Holy Spirit said, protection. So I don't know if that means protection over me while I'm there, over our school. And I wanted to share this with you last week, but for some reason I kept not doing it.
Priscilla Schreier has the most wonderful, dynamic, powerful, yeah, study on the work on, yeah, the armor of God.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We've it was done like the that. Best one I've yeah.
See, that's what it I really was listening is. To was yeah. the armor of God. We yeah. studied, we did the study, armor of
yes.
God.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, okay, I don't feel so crazy now, you know?
That's but so sweet. That's so that's sweet. Weird. It's encouragement, actually.
Huh?
It's encouragement.
Yeah. I guess it's not really weird in a weird kind of way. It's just weird that, I don't know, that he chose me to see this instead of like Ron or somebody else. But I guess it's not.
Why not you?
Hallway sweeping all the time either. And I'm praying and singing as I vacuum too, so.
That's and sweet. That's so
yeah.
sweet. I think it's become more frequent too.
Now, my grandma, my dad's mom, she had visions. She would talk to her. She had an angel that she talked to. And I used to hang out with her all the time. And I was about 6 or 7 when she passed away in 1965, but I used to listen to her talk to her angel, be laying there listening. The first time I found out, though, I said, Grandma, I said, who are you talking to? She said, oh, honey, it's just my angel. I said, tell her I said hi. And she's like, yeah, she didn't say anything, but I always say, tell her I said hi.
It's...
Isn't that crazy?
It's kind of cool, though, because... I don't know if I told you what Ken said. One of the one boy that's in the Wicca stuff in my classroom, he kept looking over at me and looking over at me. And finally, he was like, raised his hand. And, you know, and the academic teacher was up in the front of the room. It was during one of the academic classes. And I'm in the back trying to, you know, just watch for behaviors and stuff. But he raised his hand, and I'm like, you mean him or me? And he's like, you. And I said... Okay, he goes, come here. And I went over and he said, there's been somebody standing behind you. And I said, what? And he said, there's been somebody standing behind you. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, there's a wall right there, so it must be pretty skinny, right? I was just
yeah,
kind of like,
right.
And he goes, no, he said, seriously, he said, I said, well, maybe it's, you know, maybe it's my guardian angel that you're seeing, buddy. I don't know. You know, I said, but it doesn't worry me, but I appreciate you sharing that with me. And he goes, well, it's not someone that looks harmful or intent to do harm. He said, but somebody's been standing behind you back there. And he said, and I said, okay. I said, is he still there? And he goes, well, when you walked over here, no. He said, but he's been right behind your chair, like, for
did he
like
describe
this whole period.
Him?
No.
I was going to say, maybe it's my dude that I kept seeing.
And then... And then after, this was days later, but after I had shared all of those stories and stuff, we were going outside to do a project outside, and as he walked by, he said, "Gold." And I said, "What, gold? What do you mean gold?" And he said, "You have like this, I just see like this gold light or this gold something around you." And I was like, "Okay, what is that?" I'm like, what does that mean?" He goes, "I don't really know." He said, "But gold." And I was like, "Okay." So there's something going on with him, and either he does see some things of some kind, or he's, you know, reaching out for something. And it's interesting. We went outside, and he had a rock and a stick, and he was kind of doing this little weird thing with a rock and a stick and walking around our garden area with it. And I said, "What you doing, buddy?" And he goes, "I'm just putting some protection and fertility around our garden area so the stuff will really grow and all that." And he said, he goes, "Is that okay?" And I said, "Let me tell you this. I said, I'm not going to belittle what you believe in, and you have a right to believe in what you want. And I said, but I used to play around with some of the stuff that you're playing around with, and I realized that why would you try to mess?" He said, "Well, don't you believe that there's other deities or other spirits and stuff?" And I said, "Oh, I absolutely believe that there are other spirits." And I said, "And there could be other things that people see as a deity." I said, "But why would you mess with one of the little boys when you can go straight to the man?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well," I said, "God is the God. He's the God of all." And I said, "So if there are others who have some hierarchy in your belief system," I said, "trust me, they're way below and under the authority of God." And I said, "You don't have to play with that stuff. You can go straight to the God through Christ." Now, I just left it there, and he didn't say anything else, and I let him play around with his rock. But he's starting to open and share some things, and I'm just thinking, man, I'm going to have an opportunity with this kid. I just know it. So it gets me excited. But she mentioned the armor of God, and, you know, I love the fact that in the verses here in 4 that says, "Greater who is he who is in the world," or "Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world." Yeah. And so we don't really have to fear these things. Yeah. And that's what's cool for me, is when I see these things, fear is not what I feel. Sometimes I have felt, okay, am I equipped and am I really listening to what God's saying? But there's never a fear of like harm. You know, if someone says, "Oh, there's a spiritual thing," I'm like, "Okay, well, let's just deal with that." You know, because we really do have the authority.
It doesn't give us the spirit of fear.
Yeah, we really do have the authority over these things because of Jesus Christ. You know, and it's wonderful, I think, to have the opportunity. Now, we had a situation even here at church. In our kids club Tuesday night, there was a problem with one of the kids that were there. And the people who talked to me about it said that they really believed that there was some kind of a force that was a lot of darkness wrapped around it. And they were concerned with keeping this person safe and the rest of the kids safe. And they came and asked me if I would start coming to the on Tuesday nights just to be there. And because they're like, "Well, you know how to deal with kids that have had trauma, and you know how to deal with, you know, keep kids safe, and you know how to physically hold a kid if necessary and that stuff. And nobody that's there knows how to, you know, really handle that or whatever." And so I said, yes, I would start coming on Tuesday nights. But I guess the thing is we just don't know where these things are going to pop up. You know,
we
don't know where these things are going to pop up and where these things are going to happen. And, you know, this young man has been here for a long time, and You know, we had him in nursery. He's just really got some things that have changed and some things that he's struggling with. And I'm just like, you know, at first I was like, yeah, Tuesday's the only night I don't have something going on. But, and then when she continued to tell me about it, and then also when, you know, Carol was talking to me yesterday about it as well. And I was just like, yeah, absolutely. You know, yes, I'll be here, because it's an opportunity. It's not just a...
And they'll learn a lot by observation of your...
I'm hoping that it's not necessary, but if it is, it is. And, you know, we'll see how things go. 90% of, you know, dealing with the stuff is building that relationship and building trust and, you know, listening intently. And then addressing the issues before they get out of control, and helping teach the person who gets out of control to recognize when it's starting to build or when it's starting to happen, instead of getting to that crisis point. I mean, that's what most of it is. I probably haven't done a physical restraint on any of my kids in my class for, I don't know, several years, but...
You have the oldest group.
They're like, well, we know that you know how. Yeah, and the younger kids are harder to reach.
That's who I work with.
Yeah, I just love, though, that, you know, I totally, completely, 100% believe that Christ, in His authority, can instantly deal with any situation or spiritual battle. I might get tossed around if I'm not listening or being, you know, obedient enough or whatever, but I don't think He's going to allow me to get too beat up either, if He's going to use me. But, you know, Tina mentioned that armor of God, and, you know, it's really that we have to prepare, you know, that we use to prepare. I just put in here that it doesn't say that we are greater than the one who is in the world, right? It's the one in us. It's Christ's power. It says that those of the world listens to the world and sees things from a worldly viewpoint, but those from God listen to God. And, you know, I don't pretend to understand why He calls some people to do one thing and some people to do another. That's not up to me. You know, I'm not going to second guess Him as to who He calls for what. But I'm grateful, truly grateful that, you know, He chose me and you guys and all of the people that are here as part of this church. I think this is a very biblically based church. I think that Steve sticks with very biblically based church stuff. He teaches on scripture, and he doesn't go off on tangents about, you know, so much on feelings and all of that. It's just kind of like, here it is, this is the truth, this is what it says, and you deal with it. You know, you...
I have a verse.
Yes.
It was given to me this week. This is just the second verse, though it's Romans 12, verse 2. Stop imitating the ideals. This is from the Passion Translation.
Mm-hmm.
Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes.
That's one of the verses I kept reading last week.
Yes. Now, that's what translation did you say
the
that
Passion is? Translation.
Is it? I'll have to check that Passion translation out.
Beautiful.
My goodness, how's it? It's 9:47.
Already?
Yeah.
Time flies.
I want to read, before we close up, I want to read the Ephesians about armor of God, and I'd love to spend a little bit of time next week talking about it.
There's so much there.
Well, I don't know that we are going to go in a really in-depth study of it, but not next week. We're not going to be here next week.
It's going to be, yeah, we won't be here next week.
Week after. But armor of God, well, it's Ephesians 6. I think it actually names the stuff starting with 14, but just read Ephesians 6.
It didn't start even at verse 11. Yeah. Well, actually, 10.
Well, actually, you could start back at Ephesians 1. Now you're sounding like me, because that's the stuff I do. I'm like, well, we're looking at this verse here, but let's go back here and read these to get context. Yeah. And then there's all this good stuff in the context, and I go off on him. Like we're supposed to be talking. This whole number 37 on this list or whatever was about how we know that the Holy Spirit is in us or whatever, and we talk about a lot of different things.
Well, but God has us here for a reason, so that's why we're not going forward on this.
Just for some background, I mean, Ephesians is, you know, talking about being one in Christ. It's Paul's talking to the Gentiles, but he's talking to the church in, you know, the church of Gentiles in Ephesus. And in 4 and 5, he's giving, like, instructions and how and living as unity and living as children of the light and imitating God. I mean, there's really, really good stuff in Ephesians. But the armor of God, I'm going to start at 6:10, and it says, finally, which, you know, finally means you got to pull all that other stuff in, but finally, be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And then he says, pray for me too. That is so powerful. And so many times I see that reduced to a cute little kid's coloring page or something like that, you know, because it's something that you really pull out of the Bible and out of God's word. But there's so much centered around it. I mean, there's so much things, you know, I see that cute little, I just look across the room and see that cute little thing right over there sitting, and you know, because this stuff's geared toward kids. But a lot of times I think, you know, adults look at that and they go, oh, that's really cool, that's really cute, and you get that image. But if you get the image of like a Roman soldier, which, you know, Paul was chained to Roman soldiers, he probably saw them quite a bit and you know, used that imagery. But there's so much more there. I mean, there's so much more there. And if we really put on that armor, but that's not something we put on and take off and put on and take off, right? This is something we put on and leave on and live, because it's every day. You're just, you're about to explode with a scripture there, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
The guy who did this, used the Greek Aramaic,
yeah,
translation, and it was talking about the principalities of the world, and it says, for they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage.
Yep.
That was the point.
Where's that at?
That is verse 12.
In what book?
And
no, she's saying that's in the...
oh. in this new Passion
Translation. Oh, so it okay, it's just a separate page or something? Or
No, it's just a translation of it that explains it.
Where's that at?
Ephesians 6.
Ephesians, oh, okay.
That's what we just read.
Oh, okay, it's just reading different.
We were talking about bondage
yes.
in it.
Yeah.
And so, in the other translation, it didn't use that word. But
Passion, I'll have to check that out.
That's pretty cool. It's like, yes.
I think a lot of us put on different pieces.
Of the armor?
Yeah. Really, I think there you put on different pieces, but you know it's saying put on the full armor of God, all of it, and if you put on all of it, it's like I said, it's not something you put on when you're ready to do battle. We should be putting it on so that we are ready to do battle all the time.
So you were talking about the kid who had. The intellectual knowledge, but didn't have the helmet of salvation.
Exactly.
Right. Right. And those flaming darts of the evil one come in many, 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 many forms, and they can just go to the heart, they can go to the head, they can go everywhere, and, you know, it's... All right. We're out of time.
Well,
I know,
it feels like it.
But it's 9:54.
So. Alrighty.
I think we'll talk a little more about that when we come back.
Mark your book.
Cool. Oh, I know where we're at.
Okay.
I remember where we're at.
So real quick, what do you think about the vision?
You mean yours?
Your vision?
Well, I think it's related to the armor of God. You saw the Roman soldier and with the helmet.
I'm sure that's what it was, but it wasn't a scary thing.
Right, no.
Have we not been praying in the mornings about putting on the armor of God as well in the last couple of weeks or so?
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's like confirmation.
I felt kind of at peace, too. It was just... And I'm like, well, if I say anything, will people believe me?
Honey.
And God is like,
doesn't matter.
Why worry about that?
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
If you think about the amount of darkness that comes walking through the doors of that school.
Yeah.
That kids drag in with them every day. And
in our two rooms alone.
And it's it's the whole school, you know. It's our whole school. Those kids all have got some kind of thing going on. And, you know, they drag it in there and it's consolidated in that building every day. And yet, it doesn't take over. I guarantee you that there's protection in that place. And the people around that's in that place.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can I just sit here for an hour and say thank you, Lord? You're an awesome God, and you give us what we need. And you prepare us. And you won't send us into anything that you haven't prepared us to handle. And so we thank you for that so very much. We thank you for your word, Lord. You are a wonderful God. We thank you that you are greater than he who is in the world, and when we have you inside of us, we do not need to fear. We can face any battle. We can fight any battle, but we can't fight it on our own. We can't fight it with the flesh and with our worldly knowledge, Lord. We can only battle it with your word, with your faith, with your spirit, Lord. It's you. We're just the conduit or the puppet that you use, Lord. But thank you for using us, because when you do, we are so tremendously blessed. Lord, we just lift this up to you, and we just ask that you would be in the service powerfully and strong today, that as we worship, Lord, we can feel your presence and know that you're here with us, and that you'll just open up minds and hearts to receive what you have to give us today. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.